Today, we're looking at the issue of Thanksgiving, and we're kind of moving away from James. We're going to look at why we celebrate Thanksgiving. It's found in Psalms 100. So much to say about Psalms 100 and the issues of Thanksgiving. Our lives as believers in Christ should be giving thanks to God. We should have an attitude of gratitude every day for who God is, who Christ is in our hearts and our lives. Much more than just coming to church and doing a ritual thing, but the idea that Christ resides in our hearts. So if we could stand together and read Psalm 100, this is, for those that are interested, this is really the only psalm naming the idea of giving thanks, thanksgiving. The psalmist says this, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Thank you. You may be seated and let's pray. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for good news. We thank You, Father, as we look at the season of gratitude, a season of giving thanks to our Maker, the idea that we're not on this planet alone and we don't live life alone. Father, that You are with us. And we're so thankful. We're thankful for this church, its purpose, its mission here in New Smyrna. Father, we thank You for the leadership, and we just want to just lift up the search team and the deacons and all of the leaders here during a time of transition. Now, Father, as we look at this passage, we pray for the power of Your Holy Spirit, and we pray that everything we say and do would be in keeping with Your will and Your wishes. Father, I pray that when we leave here in the next few moments, that we'd be different, that we'd be closer to You, that we'd be changed because of our worship experience today. In Christ's name, amen. Thanksgiving. You know, there's the Christian's perspective of Thanksgiving, and then there's the secular mindset of Thanksgiving. And in that secular mindset of Thanksgiving, you know, we see that Norman Rockwell picturesque, and we all try to do it. And what happens during this time of year is we become dysfunctional, right? Anybody, you know, do you dread if your world is, you know, think, because the fact is, Thanksgiving is a time of where families gather together and people and friends and closeness and all of this. And then there's that time of if you're in the world, even if you're a Christian, you have family. And that's good and bad. Right? You know what? I got over this a long time ago in my family, okay? And in my family, we just call it la familia. And we move on. Okay, and anything that happens, it's okay because it's la familia and we move on. And that way you don't have to worry. Here's a little advice. You don't have to worry about all the drama and the subplots and the issue of, oh, Aunt Hazel's not coming and my sister's mad at me and all of this and all of that, right? You don't have to deal with that, all right? But here's a little article I found last week. And this is Carolyn, dear Carolyn, but giving thanks for a family-free Thanksgiving this year. Dear Carolyn, how can I justify to myself and my family skipping Thanksgiving this year? It is the only holiday my whole family spends together. I'm always the one who organizes it at a restaurant near my sister's and my parents' homes. I live a six-hour drive away, and they will not travel to me. I'm tired of my family's reluctance to do anything themselves, their nonstop drama, and their self-absorption, which means my wants are rarely heard. It's emotionally draining. So I want to skip all of this year and just hang out with my husband and go to a friend's house. I'm in therapy, which has been so helpful towards setting boundaries and taking care of myself. But I still feel the sense of guilt that I'm a terrible daughter and abandoned my family. It goes on from there. You don't want the response, do you? Okay? But that's the world's understanding of Thanksgiving. And if we set our sights on that, then we try to set up this idea that, you know what, and I've come to this, and the same thing with Christmas. It really doesn't matter what's on the table. I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas. And there have been times of good and times of bad financially. And I found that as long as I've got Jesus and myself and something on the table, right? Something. It could be turkey, ham, or, no, don't say spam. Did someone say spam? But because what is our purpose? Thanksgiving is great not because of all the stuff. And I love all the stuff. And you know what? We're going to have family. I'm taking a day early, okay? Our office closes on Wednesday. I'm leaving Tuesday because I've got to go and take care of the backyard because different family members are coming. Okay, who cares, right? But it's the way it is. But Thanksgiving causes us to remember. For the Christian, it causes us to remember. Remember the relationship we have with a holy God. The most dangerous thing for the Christian is when the holy becomes common. And when we forget about the personal relationship we have with an almighty, all-powerful, all-holy God that cares about us, that personally loves us and cares about us. And so today we thank God by remembering. Remembering in two ways. The first is to remember and thank God for the relationship He has with us as His people, as His children. Psalm 100 verses 1 through 3 says this: make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands of the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And so first there is a call to praise in the psalm. There is a call to praise. It says shout to the Lord. There's a trumpet blast. It's the equivalent of fanfare accompanied with the shouts of homage to a king. Now, there's nothing more painful when we go to a football game. And by the way, the Canes got beat last night, okay? And I turn the TV off at halftime. No more. No mas. Done. All right? The Gators didn't play. I don't know about the Seminoles. And I don't know. And Joe, the Cleveland, the dog pound of Cleveland plays the Finns today. And so, but you know that we're all going to get excited and we're going to get pumped up for the game, right? All day yesterday I was wearing green. And that came off about midway through the second quarter. But what happens when we come to church? There was, what about 3 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago, we were scared here. We were scared. It's the first time. Because, you know, I brag on you all. And Don, Pastor Don brags on you all about when you come here to the God and it's just exciting and people want to be here. There's a thing, it's called a buzz. It's called expectation for worship. And whether you have 50 people or 60 people or 1,000 people, there people walk in and there's a buzz of people here. And I don't know what, I think it was the time change. I'm blaming it on the time change. But it was just quiet. And it was like, it was bizarre. It was odd. And so here there's this understanding of shouting, of participating, of it's emotion of praise, of joy. And joy is the aim. Joy is the motive. Joy is the idea. We walk around, you know, and say, as a Christian, I'm joyful. Like a little mouse. I'm joyful. It should be, I'm joyful. We get mad. Yes, I'm joyful. Just now leave me alone. I'm joyful. I'm having joy. But joy is this gratitude by living a life pleasing to God. Joy is the understanding of a sense of peace because of who God is, who Christ is in my heart. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We can't rejoice if we get caught up in all the stuff. The direction of praise is to God Himself. We don't make a noise to impress the church, or we don't make a noise to impress each other, but it's given to God. There's a longing for the inclusion. We all say there is no one who sits silent and mute. It is God's intention that every voice and each nation thunder back to Him the understanding of praise. Serve the Lord with gladness, the idea of worship. You know, worship is something that is just kind of lost. Worship literally means to fall down before, to worship a holy God, an all-powerful God. When we worship, when we fail to worship, something is lost, something is missing. We run through the motions, we sing the songs, we walk out the door. But the wonder and the awesomeness and the power of God through worship is missing. It says, come before Him with joyful songs. So there is this call to praise. Secondly, that not only a call to praise, but a cause to praise. Remember your cause. Know that the Lord is God. This is the actual acknowledgement of God and God alone. We want to live godly lives for God, God-fearing lives, but society can't produce God-fearing people. There is this human element that creates a mass of neuroticism. There are problems here and drama there and this, that, there. And we get caught up in this and we get caught up in that. We claim that we can become better, but in reality we get worse. You know, I love the treadmill. I love my treadmill. And I can, you know, you're not supposed to do this, but, you know, I can read the newspaper. I can watch a TV show. I can do all kinds of things on the treadmill at the same time, being productive. But you're not supposed to do that. But I, you know, so don't go home and try that. Don't do that. But the issue of the treadmill is, you know, you go and you go and you go and you get nowhere, right? And when you forget who God is, we forget the relationship we have with Christ. Now, here are the aspects of the holiness and the character of God. First of all, God's character is holy. He is holy. He's different from us. He is on the throne. He is awesome. He is powerful. He is my all in all. He is all powerful. He is all high. James McDonald said it like this: God created the world with His feet up. Why? Because He can. Holiness. Who is like You, O God? No one is like You. No one. Holiness shouts separation. God is not some old granddaddy in the sky. He's not the man upstairs. God is God, and He's holy. Secondly, God is powerful and mighty, and He creates. Psalm 19, He is active in creating. The heavens declare the glories of God. The skies declare the work of His hands. How beautiful. The existence of God. How do we know God exists? So much to say here. The cosmological argument, the idea of cause and effect. Something started this. Something. It didn't just happen. Something started it, and that's God. The evidential argument. Creation itself has design, not just size and shape. You check the universe out. The sun, I may say this wrong, but the distance between the sun and the earth is 93 million miles. 93 million miles. And that's not the entire galaxy. And that is only if you put everything together, that's our galaxy. If the Earth's proximity to the sun, if we were closer even by a few degrees, we'd be incinerated. If we were farther away, we would freeze to death. And I don't want to freeze to death. If I want to go, you know, come on, I don't do cold. Okay? And by the way, just so you know, if I'm here in another couple of weeks and it gets colder, out come the gloves. All right? Just so you know, and don't laugh at me, but out come the gloves. I don't do cold well. But if we were farther away, we would freeze to death. Most of our planets have this issue of elliptical orbits with a broad variance of proximity to the sun. The seasons come and go, but we have almost a circular orbit, so there is a constancy to our climate that other planets do not enjoy. Then you have the moral argument. It's the idea that in this world of 6 billion people, God engraved in us the same moral DNA. God gave us a moral code for the human heart. God created us in His image. It makes us different from animals. God is not a collective God with other gods. God is alone to be worshipped. He wants our total commitment. We are to call on Him, not the things that He created, but we're to worship God. And when I come into this place, there's a sense of awe and respect. And I know that God is everywhere. I know that I can worship God, whether it's in traffic or by the ocean. But there's something different when I come here. There's this idea that we're going to meet God, to share, to sing, to worship, because He is holy and worship is honor. When we worship, we open our hearts to the very love of God. We open the door to the holiness and purpose of God. If you ever said, I did not get anything out of worship today, you worshiped for the wrong reason. Worship is not for you. It's not for me. It's for God. And of course, most worship services include elements of fellowship and edification, evangelism, but there are benefits to worship. But we do not worship to please ourselves. Our motive is to bring glory and pleasure to our Creator. Worship is experience, transformation, the expression of God. It's celebration. It's the encounter with God. It's offering our total selves to God. It's emotion. It's awe. It's respect. It's fear. It's adoration. It's joy. It's dialogue with God. Worship is not attending a worship service or being a good churchman or using the church terms or great music or doing church stuff. But worship that honors God is authentic, accurate. God is pleased when our worship is thoughtful. Worship is the development of how I relate to a holy, holy God. Well, we thank God when it comes to Thanksgiving. We thank God for His creation. God is active in creation. We thank God for His redemption. His only Son, Jesus Christ, is the one and only atonement, full atonement, not a half atonement as the cults teach, but full for our sins. He was given in our place. His protection. As His children, He protects us from the evil one. We are the sheep of His pasture. And we remember the cause of praising God. We show gratitude by knowing God's plan and presenting prayers of request and honoring. We come before God. When it comes to Thanksgiving, the idea is against any kind of whining or complaining before God, because when we come before God, we've already prayed about what our requests are. We're so worried about our stuff that we forget about God. In the 1830s, Alex de Tocqueville recorded this famous observation on America. He noted a strange melancholy that haunts the inhabitants in the midst of abundance. Americans believed prosperity could quench their yearning for happiness, but such a hope was illusory because the incomplete joys of this world will never satisfy the human heart. I'm so thankful for hope. My hope is not in politics or philosophy or aesthetics or beauty or economics. My hope is in Christ. And Warren Wiersbe said that the number one problem in the church is bitterness. We get so bitter. We get so upset about things. The idea that God didn't answer my prayer. He didn't give me what I wanted. And we're broken. The brokenness of people. Or how about this? Dear Abby, a little humor here. Dear Abby, I'm a Baptist, but when I die, I don't want to spend an eternity with my parents or family. What? I told you, my kids, you know, Dad, why did you do that, Dad? You know. Aren't you glad our hope does not exist or resist in ourselves? When we remember the cause that God and God is alone, it places us under the authority of God. It gives us a proper perspective. So when we look at Thanksgiving, we review the past. This is the idea of looking back, seeing what has happened in our lives, to see the experience that God has brought us through, the idea of watching that God has in our lives, the idea of thinking on God, meditating on God, memorizing the things of God, and thanking Him for it. Secondly, we focus on the present. And by the way, whatever the crisis is, when you get through it, you look back and you say, good night, thank you, Lord. Thank you, I'm not like I used to be. Then secondly, we focus on the present. Think of the issues that God has placed in your present condition. Then third, we restore our perspective. Thanksgiving is just it's a matter of perspective. How I look at my life and the great expanse of the universe, the God in the heavens and the earth, is my Lord and Savior. And so we remember to thank God for His relationship to His people. Secondly, we remember and thank God for the revelation of His character. He said, into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generation. Again, there is a call to praise and giving thanks. The psalmist here gives an image of crowds of people pressing into the temple through the massive gates. And as they're pressing into the temple, they enter shouting words of thanksgiving and gratitude. Aren't you just thankful? Just thankful. Just be thankful. The idea here is that thanksgiving is not seen through the obvious material benefits, but rather the person and nature of God Himself. Enters to His courts with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You know, if we look at the person of Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel was so insightful. But if you read Daniel, if you really look, well, why was this young man so insightful? If you look into Daniel, the first couple of chapters, and into chapter 6, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He prayed for 2 things. First, he thanked God. He just thanked God. And second, he asked for His help. He thanked God. And he asked for His help. The cause of praise here. The psalmist here praises God for who He is. He praises God for three things. God is good. Psalm 105. God wants good and not evil things for us. We fail to see the blessings in our lives. We look to the crisis of the circumstances, failure, instead of looking at the circumstance of what God is trying to teach us. And then we look at the crisis as God's punishment and our guilt instead of our relationship with an almighty, all-powerful God. Instead of seeing whatever we are dealing with as, God, what are You doing in my life and how can I learn from this? It's kind of like, why, God? Why did this happen to me? We put a paper bag over our head and we're ashamed to live because we're going through a difficult issue. A grateful person is a humble person, while ingratitude reveals a proud heart. And a grateful heart is a full heart, while an unthankful heart is an empty one. So we say thanks by letting the peace of Christ rule our hearts, by being thankful and surrendering everything and living for God. But ingratitude. Isn't it nice? Let me just ask you, isn't it nice when your kids call you and they don't want anything? They just want to talk. It's a nice feeling. It's like, okay, what am I seeing set up? What do you want now? That's the role that I'm in. Anyway, let's move on. Secondly, God's mercy is everlasting. Mercy in Hebrew is hesed. It's undeserved love. It's grace. Grace is getting what we, when we least deserve it. Grace goes beyond the list of rights and wrongs. Grace is proof that God is personally involved in our lives. The world says it like this: if you're nice to me, then I'll be nice back. If you're mean to me, then watch out because I'm coming after you. God isn't like that. Grace gives when payback is not warranted but expected. And third, God's truth endures through all generations. God's truth is absolute. God's truth is tested and reliable. God's truth perseveres to the cross of Christ. His nature is good. His love is not so deep. He does not love emotionally off and on. There's no mere emotion or arbitrary mood. His love is based on His own nature, which never changes. This is the basis of gratitude. I must change, but God does not change. So how do I express praise? I thank God for salvation. I thank God for His love. I thank God for His goodness. I thank God for His direction. I thank God for His protection. I thank God for life. I thank God for the blessings of life. So today, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, I encourage you to give a genuine expression of joyful gratitude to God. Thank Him for the people in your lives, the provisions, the institutions that bless you. Do it with urgency and passion, and do it daily. Do it in God's house. Do it at your house and even someone else's house. Do it loud and verbally. Write it down. Whatever the issue is, whatever the problem is, God says just make a joyful noise and keep praising. Thanksgiving, we remember to thank God for His relationship with His people. And we remember to thank God for the revelation of God and His character. I found this last night from Chuck Swindoll. On the issue of Thanksgiving, he says, "Thank you, Lord." He says, "It's coming. That quiet, unheralded day that refuses to be glamorized is just around the corner. If you're not careful, you'll let it slip right on by with only a plate full of turkey and a passing nod. It's the only national holiday that frustrates merchants since they can't make an extra buck off of it. And it always falls on Thursday, of all things." That's right, it's Thanksgiving, my favorite. Why? I prefer it because it's so healthy, so encouraging, and so understated. No jingles to sing, no commercials to endure, no gifts to buy. Just a day to be thankful. To look up and around and within and say, "Thank you, Lord." Maybe these few thoughts will stimulate you to give God your own thanks in a greater abundance. First of all, looking up, "Thank you, Lord, for your sovereign control over our circumstances, for your holy character in spite of our sinfulness, for your commitment to us even when we wander astray, for your word that gives us direction, and for your love that holds us close, and for your gentle compassion in our sorrows, for your consistent faithfulness through our highs and lows, for your strong no when we need to hear it, for your surprising yes when we lack the faith to believe it, for your wise wait when we are so impatient and rash, for your understanding when we are confused, for your spirit that enlightens our eyes, and for your grace that removes our guilt. Thank you, Lord, for all you are, all you do, all you say. If we were unable to look up into your face, Thanksgiving would just be another day. Looking around, thank you, Lord, for our wonderful country, so blessed and so unique, for close family ties, so affirming and so enjoyable, for teachers and mentors and personal heroes who spur us on, for an opportunity to be help and encouragement to others, for the embrace of a friend who really cares, for the joy of seeing our children and grandchildren grow and learn, for an occupation that enables us to make a living, for a place to live, clothes to wear, food to eat. Thank you, Lord, for such an incredible abundance by just looking around. We are made aware of how rich we really are. And looking within, thank you, Lord, for the gift of good health, a hidden treasure easily overlooked, for eyes that see the beauty of your creation, for minds that are curious and creative and competent, for memories of past pleasures and recent accomplishments, for ears that receive the world of sound surrounding us, for the special stimulation of taste and touch, for hands to work with legs and legs to walk with, for heartaches that force us to rearrange our priorities, for broken dreams and lingering afflictions that humble us, for the courage to tell the truth, though it hurts, for the determination to finish a demanding task, for a sense of humor that brings us healing and hope. This is Thanksgiving, O Lord, not thanks-keeping. And so we pause to declare to you these expressions of gratitude. They are merely an overview of the thousands of things which we are so thankful. You are indeed worthy of our highest praise. To you goes all the glory. Amen. I just want to close with, when I first arrived here, for several years I was invited to speak at the Cambodian mission in Palm Coast. And they since have become an independent church. Pastor Kess, just a good guy, just a good pastor. And I don't know if you've ever heard his testimony, but what an incredible testimony. That church there's a percentage of people from that church that came over from Cambodia during Pol Pot's regime. A lot, extremely strong amount of persecution. And when Pastor Kess arrived here in America, he didn't have anything. He didn't have any clothes except what was on his back. But he was so thankful and so grateful to be here. And as he was just standing around walking in the airport, what do I do next? All he could do was give praise to be in America. And when I heard that testimony, it kind of, you know, because I have a closet full of clothes. And, you know, I try to clean out the closet, and then I find that I have more clothes to fill up the closet. And so the reality is Thanksgiving is perspective on who we are and whose we are. And again, when I started today, the idea is that we look at Thanksgiving in two different ways. The believer has a sense of a personal God. The person who has not God in his heart, who does not have Jesus Christ in his heart, really is just really out there trying to do something religious. So it all starts at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, we invite you to do that today. Start Thanksgiving outright, no matter who is around your table, no matter what is on your table. You can always have an attitude of gratitude. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. I just want to thank you, Father, for coming into our hearts, for changing us, for putting people in our hearts, in our lives, for being an example, Father, for godly grandparents, Father, for people that have lived out Christ to us. And so, Father, I pray there's somebody here that has never accepted Christ. May they do that today. Father, again, you know, we look at this, you know, I've got to have this, and I've got to have that, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. And if I don't have these things, then Thanksgiving is a wash, it's a bust. So, Father, Thanksgiving is simply gratitude to you. And so, Father, we do pray. Maybe there's somebody that just needs to come and pray here at the altar, or someone that just needs to get a new start, or somebody needs to join this church. We pray that they would do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.